Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To listen to this episode ad-free, visit patreon.com/whathappenedinskinner.
Hey again, Whispers. How are you? Doing good? You can't answer that, but you can let me know in the Discord. I've had like 4 Red Bulls tonight. Oh, Jesus. Okay. For those of you who didn't see it, Rex sent out another video.
From all of us here at Themis, we hope you had a rejuvenating holiday and an empowering new year. And if you spent the holidays without loved ones, I know how you feel. I've been there. I founded Themis because I wanted a family, a community, a home that I hadn't had in a long time. And I want that for you, too. You're welcome here. So, if you're able to join us here in Belize, or if you're able to join us from afar, you are a part of this community. We want you here. We care about you. And you belong. So please reach out if needed. And have a happy new year. Okay.
Pretty standard. Little creepy, given the givens. But he fucking slipped. In the video, he's standing in front of a wooden wall or a fence or something. But then he turns the phone to stop the video. And there, for a bare instant, on the trees above him, is snow. Motherfucking snow. The Belizean authorities are stonewalling us, of course, but Katie thinks Themis is near the town of Hopkins. I looked up the weather in Hopkins, Belize. 84 degrees Fahrenheit. He's not there. So, I downed 4 Red Bulls and have spent the last, fucking knows, hours cross-referencing Google Earth and the weather. Here's what I know. Latin America would make the most sense, given Themis, but unless he's, like, up in the Andes, my bet is that he's farther north, especially with those tall pine trees. A lot of the northern hemisphere has snow right now. The U.S. would be alarming, but not very plausible, given that he's a wanted man. I feel like Canada wouldn't fuck with him either. Could be Europe, but Interpol is a thing. Eastern Europe, maybe? I don't know how much they participate in that. Or northern Asia, but I don't really know why he'd be over there. So, okay, yeah, that's a wide net, but fuck it. We have snow, and that's something to be proud of. It is possible he's just trying to keep us chasing our tails. But I don't think so. He might spin it that way, but this feels like an accident to me. I think Rex done fucked up. And after learning that he might be all-powerful, I gotta admit, I really like that. Especially as he's trying to attract people who are vulnerable and alone. Again. And I'm grateful for this little community of ours. Grateful for your help investigating. Glad that for all I'm sitting here alone talking into this ridiculous mic at, Jesus, 4:52 a.m. At least I know you'll be there, listening, worrying about the same shit I am, helping us try to figure all this out and find some connection between these tangled threads. Gross. I get all poetic when I'm tired, apparently. Let's let a real narrator take over, shall we? This is What Happened in Skinner.
August 28th, 1899. High though the national mood may be, within our own community, everything is going wrong. The fire, bitter quarrels within the coven, And now, Edward Doyle, yet another of our own, gone. I doubt anyone feels it more keenly than Roscoe. He lacks the cool indifference mastered by his peers. Normally, a medical man keeps a scientific detachment from his world, necessitated by his constant contact with grief. Not Roscoe Martin. He feels, communes with his patients. Every birth is a joy, and every death.
Whoa!
Was it right to keep him in the dark when Sybilla and I decided to visit Mr. Doyle's estate and look into the nature of his death? I have to tell myself yes. He had enough on his mind.
Oh, Mr. Martin. Here, let me take your coat.
Thank you, Agatha.
Roscoe? What? You're home before dusk. Did the hospital sink into the Hudson?
I left for a house call.
Oh. Come sit. I'll have Agatha make some lemonade. Agatha!
I've got a pitcher in the icebox.
Please. A house call?
Dr. Sims.
Dr. Sims? How is he? Oh, but he was so lively at the retirement party.
He was.
Roscoe, I'm so sorry. I know how much he meant.
After all he taught me.
I'm sure you did everything you could.
No, I didn't. We've known the bacteria that causes pneumonia for over a decade. I implore them, to fund a laboratory where we can work on a serum. Instead, I get to go to work and treat it the same way they have for centuries.
You can't bear the weight of their uninformed decision.
Every patient who looks into my eyes wishing for an answer I know I can't give? Well, it's my weight to bear.
Dripping water hollows out stone. Not through force, but through persistence. Progress can be slow.
Progress? It feels as if we're going backwards. In everything.
Supper will be served on the hour.
Thank you, Agatha. That'll be all.
Thank you, Mrs. Martin.
Are we? We have electricity in our home. Lord and Taylor is installing a moving stairway like the one at Coney Island. Aspirin alone is a modern miracle.
And yet death is more present than ever. We've never seen so many tragedies. Back to back to back. What's happening to us, Sybilla?
Roscoe, darling, I don't mean to diminish, but look around you. There are people in New York living 10 to a room, fighting the rats for scraps of food, working every day in filthy, dangerous conditions. And here we are. We have everything we could ever dream of. But we'll still die. People still must die.
But the founders
are dead. They had everything. They had insight and knowledge, more fortune than they knew what to do with. And they died. That doesn't mean their luck ran out. Death can't be stopped. Not even by us.
Rousing pep talk.
Pleasure. Be sure to check in with me during the next cholera outbreak. Besides, these recent events aren't the natural order of things. Not in my belief.
Well, if you find the boogeyman, send my regards.
Come, that's enough talk of bad luck. How about a round of billiards? I'll let you win again.
Let me?
Of course. How else would you stand a chance? Have faith. We'll come through.
Agatha?
I'll get it. She's probably in another wing.
Given it's the back door, it's probably your friend Irving anyway.
You can't disown Irving just because he beat you at cards last week.
We weren't.
Hello?
Yes, Roscoe, I know all about your gambling.
You heard about the poker.
Our back gardens are connected, Irving. I hear about everything that occurs under your roof. And it's as dull as dishwater.
Well, there's nothing dull about taking your husband's money.
Bravado won't save you from losing your shirt the next time
next time?
Send out the laundry. Next time we send out the laundry, you lose your shirt.
Stunning recovery.
Too right.
Honestly, I don't see the attraction of gambling with fortune on your side. There's no sport in it.
Well, not unless your opponent is equally as fortunate.
Well, Roscoe, dear, if you do insist on losing all our money to Mr. Johnson, do keep me abreast. Secrets between spouses are not healthy.
As we see at the hospital. Very dangerous indeed.
Now there's the man I married.
Not to interrupt this tableau of domestic bliss, but my hansom is waiting outside. Shall we off to Mr. Doyle?
Doy Busey's new work? Yes, we certainly don't want to be late.
Doy Busey?
Debussy. Roscoe, care to join?
I'll stay in.
You're sure?
A bit too modern for my taste. But give Lily my regards.
I'm happy to stay here if you need me.
Go enjoy your Debussy. I'll sneak myself a gin and tonic when you're not looking.
Sneak a few. I'll be out late.
Founders didn't have everything, Sib.
No.
They didn't have you.
Well?
What are you standing there for? Doy Busey awaits.
Secrets between spouses aren't healthy?
Well, with occasional exceptions.
Ever that devious streak.
Which I've spent much effort suppressing, thank you very much. Now tell me what you found out.
I pressed Elliot for details, but I'm not exactly his closest confidant these days. But apparently, as they approached Doyle's estate... Edward Doyle's estate is no easy jaunt. A hansom to Pennsylvania Station begins an hour-long journey through the dark New Jersey countryside. A transfer in Elizabeth, then on to Westfield, before hailing another carriage up to the manor. I owe Viola Van Tassel an apology. The idea she presented weeks ago, which felt ludicrous at the time, now seems alarmingly plausible. Edward Doyle is the second from Dalton Thorne's list to meet his end, and the altercation between them at Loretta's rejoining was in the forefront of my mind as Mr. Doyle's ominous manner loomed above us on the hilltop.
Who the Fuck Killed My Sister is a darkly comedic murder mystery podcast telling the story of Quinn Reynolds, that's me, a reluctant true crime celebrity with a violent past. 1 year into investigating my sister's murder, I finally found my first major lead. Reigniting bitter feuds with the media.
What in the hell was this jury thinking, Tim?
That's a great question, Nancy.
Law enforcement.
Down on your knees slowly.
And an unhinged group of conspiracy theorists.
We're here to make a citizen's arrest.
If any of you freaks come within 10 feet of me, you're getting maced.
Give me the zip ties. I can take her. I'm bathed in his blood.
Binge all 8 episodes now, wherever you get your podcasts, or at whothefuckkilledmysister.com to find out who the fuck killed my sister.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We voiced no expectations about what our inquiry might reveal. But as we came to a stop out front, I think we both clung to the last speck of hope that this would prove nothing more than imagination run amok. Thank you, Samuel. Find yourself some water. We won't be an hour.
I'll be here, sir.
Shall we question them together or individually?
It's curious.
How
different a place can feel after. The energy has changed. It's unsettling.
I felt it too. The evening hung with that same unnerving stillness I've spent 30 years trying to forget. The last bit of light gave the manor a crimson glow. I had a sudden urge to suggest we leave. But we trudged forward, in spite of my intuition that we were walking into a darkness that would be difficult to dispel.
And the police haven't been in touch since?
No, ma'am. They were satisfied there was nothing more to know by the time we saw the children off the following morning.
And what of the man who was leaving just as my son arrived?
I'm sorry?
The children saw a man departing in a carriage.
Not sure who they would have seen.
No.
Did Edward have any visitors that day before the children arrived?
I'm afraid Mr. Doyle was alone that night.
Any deliveries to the house around that time?
In the evening? None.
You're certain?
Quite certain, Mrs. Martin. As butler, nothing comes in or out without my knowing.
I don't suppose Dalton Thorne has paid any visits recently.
Mr. Thorne? No. No, I can't say that he has. Forgive me, but it is growing quite late. Will you be staying tonight?
Thank you, no. We have to make our way back to the city.
Well, then I'd hate for you to miss the last train. Brian?
Mr. Stevens?
Could you please see Mr. Johnson and Mrs. Martin to their carriage? They have a train to make.
Of course.
Until recently, I knew Brian as Edward Doyle's valet. There's a unique kinship that develops through such a close working relationship, a bond that surpasses protocol. And tonight, of all people, fate would find Brian in the unconventional role of escorting us to the door.
You don't think they could have been mistaken?
I've learned not to doubt Elliot's memory, particularly when something's upsetting.
But if Mr. Stevens insists no one else was here...
If I may?
Yes?
Mr. Stevens is very set in his idea of duty and discretion.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
Brian, who was it? Did you see his face?
No, I was finishing up my break. Whoever he was, he must not have been here long.
Is there anyone else on staff who may have seen him?
Not that I've heard. But someone was here just before Mr. Johnson's son arrived. They only raked out the tread marks today.
Brian, I don't suppose your chauffeur is still up. I'd love for him to take a look at our carriage before we bring it around.
Follow me.
Brian led us out the front door, then snuck us back around the house and towards the stables. In the carriage house, he introduced us to a crude but informative chauffeur named Tom.
The drive was a goddamn mess. Must have taken off like a bat out of hell.
But you didn't see him leave?
No. I was helping with the blackout.
Blackout?
Yeah, the lights failed.
Is that common?
More than it was a few years ago.
And the coachman never told you who his master was?
There was no coachman.
No?
No.
The carriage was just left out front. You didn't find that odd?
Sure I did. But that's what the master wanted, so...
Explain.
Well, it came by now and again, that same black painted carriage, usually when I was already off for the night. Mr. Stevens said not to worry about bringing the carriage round back.
How many times did you see it come by?
3 or 4, maybe. Last couple of months.
And you're certain you never saw the driver?
Mm-mm. Wasn't an accident, was it?
We don't know. But can we count on your discretion?
Brian, is there any way we could see Edward's study tonight?
I think I can manage that, yeah.
Brian whisked us back inside and into a sweltering labyrinth of servants' passages. Most of the staff had already turned in, but we still drew astonished looks from several cooks and footmen.
Grace?
Yeah? Oh!
Have you done the master study yet?
I was about to.
Good. I want you to bring Mr. Johnson and Mrs. Martin with you. I'll keep Mr. Stevens occupied in the library. Don't spend more than 5 minutes. That's how long it takes her to dust. Grace, listen carefully. The three of you can't be seen. Lock the door behind you and take the southeast stairwell instead of the usual route.
Okay.
Wait 2 minutes, and then go.
We were off, darting along corridors that felt 10 times more cavernous in the darkness. I didn't know where Mr. Stevens would be, or why he was our sudden adversary. Grace stopped short of a lit hallway, peered around the corner, and ushered us quickly through an oaken door.
The study.
May we look around?
Please.
Outwardly, the study looked in perfect order, but the energy in that room was different than anything I've felt. Even at war, it felt oppressive, unnatural.
Have you cleaned this room since the accident?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you see it on the night of the accident?
I did, ma'am.
I'm sorry to hear it.
Thank you.
Were there any signs of a struggle?
No, ma'am. But, the tapestry was here.
I'm sorry?
The tapestry. Is that not why you're here?
The girl pointed to a barren spot on the wall. Tell us what you know about it.
Well, it was a hunting scene. By the time we found the master, it was already gone.
Stolen?
Yes.
Grace, was someone with Edward when the accident occurred?
Well, yes.
The one who left the black carriage out front?
Right.
On several occasions, wasn't it?
A handful, yes.
Did you ever see this person?
Once, very late at night.
Could you give us a description?
Tall, fair skin, dark eyes.
My God.
But why would... Grace, was there anything particularly noteworthy about this tapestry?
No, not that we knew.
Nothing remarkable about its history? Its worth?
No, sir.
Grace, why didn't Brian tell us about this?
He doesn't know. Mr. Stevens warned me not to talk about the master's visitor. I'm the only one on staff who saw her.
Her?
Yes, ma'am?
His visitor was a woman?
Of course.
The woman downtown, what was her name?
Lucia?
Grace, did you speak to this woman?
Briefly, sir, yes. She got turned around one night.
Did she have an accent? An Italian accent?
No.
You're absolutely positive?
But Irving, Lucia wasn't tall. She was quite petite.
Had you seen her at any gathering? The panel where the tapestry had been cracked ajar. I pulled at its edge, revealing a large cabinet with one shelf, empty but for the faint outline of dust where, until recently, something had been. What was this?
I don't know, sir.
Grace?
I swear, I've never seen this before.
Does anyone else on the staff clean this room?
No, ma'am. Only me.
And you have no idea what may have been in this cabinet?
None, sir.
More questions than answers tonight.
So recording this installment gave me an idea. The inherited in New York today are at least as rich and powerful as their forebears, and they all, of course, have staff. Having worked some assistant gigs, I can tell you, the staff see everything. So, who better to talk to? I won't get into how we found him to protect our sources and whatnot, but I want to introduce you to our new contact. We'll call him Quill. After some primo persuasion, if I do say so myself, Aaron and I managed to convince Quill to speak on the record about his last job, where he worked for none other than the Sinclair family. In other words, Ellie's parents.
Hello?
Hi, Quill?
Yeah?
It's Cam, from What Happened in Skinner. Is now still okay?
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much for agreeing to talk.
Hey, no skin off my teeth anymore.
Since you quit working for the Sinclairs?
If by quit you mean unceremoniously fired, yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry.
Thanks. If you hear of any open admin jobs, let me know. I can also walk dogs.
Can I ask why they fired you?
I may or may not have leaked a photo of their daughter's autopsy report. I didn't, by the way.
Oh. Wow. But you got blamed?
Not specifically. They couldn't figure out who did it, so they, fired all of us. Paranoid bastards.
All of you? The whole staff?
At least all the staff in the Manhattan house. I guess I don't really know about the other properties. But, I mean, yes. I mean, some of us had been with them for years. The chef was there for actual decades. But hey, good luck finding someone else Michelin-trained in France who's also Oramana.
Wait. Who's Oramana? The chef was?
All of us. The staff.
Really?
Of course. I mean, at least everyone in the house.
But...
converts.
Ah. So, did you convert for the job, or...?
No. Second gen. My parents converted in the 80s before they had me, but, like, no difference to them. helped is the help.
Yikes. So, you said you might have some info about them, or about Ellie?
Right, yeah. I wasn't there the night she died, so I don't know anything about that. But I did hear her arguing with them the day before.
Ellie and her parents?
Yeah.
About what?
I could only make out bits of it since the door was closed, but she was really angry with them. How could you do this? You know, that kind of thing. I think they were trying to calm her down.
Did you hear anything more specific?
Not really. But they'd been arguing a lot lately. The Sinclairs weren't very supportive of Ellie asking any questions. And God forbid she or any of us mention anything about Skinner or Susan Wilde.
Really? So you think that's what they were arguing about?
Well, in general, she was thinking about it pretty seriously. Which, according to her parents, was going to bring destruction down onto all of us.
I guess I shouldn't ask you where the staff stood on that?
Yeah, probably not. No comment. But, I mean, we listened to the recordings of her. And Magister Wurlitz.
Rex.
Mm-hmm.
So Ellie and her parents were fighting about Rex the day before she died.
That was usually the safe bet. But it was different that time. She wasn't just, you know, poking at them. She was furious. And scared.
Of what?
It was just that tone of voice. I didn't hear exactly what she was saying.
Hmm. And then what?
She came storming out after a minute. And Mrs. Sinclair followed her upstairs trying to talk to her. Mr. Sinclair came out a second later and took some papers into his study.
Do you know what they were?
Well, look, not that I would ever snoop, but by coincidence, I did happen to be organizing the desk later.
Of course.
Wire transfers. From the Sinclairs to various different people.
Do you remember any names?
No. They were all different and pretty generic. All the addresses were different too, but they were all in Belize.
Belize?
Yeah. And they were for a lot of money.
Like how much?
The most recent one I saw was for $800.
$800?
Dude, $800,000.
Jesus. Well, for now, Cam out.
What Happened in Skinner is produced at Mazama Voiceover Studios in New York City. This reenactment, starring Dick Terhune, Gene Taffler, and Dan Olson, and featuring Timothy Nolan, Gary Brintz, Dave Bob, and Estelle Olivia. Original music by Mitch Gardner. Huge thanks to everyone participating on the Discord and contributing on Patreon. Our show is supported by listeners like you. Join us at patreon.com/whathappenedinskinner.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Antarctica. If I had known the truth, I never would have come here. It's a frozen hellscape at the bottom of the world. The Telders Corporation lured me here with promises of exploring the universe, but it's all lies. Now, I'm trapped at Station 151, hounded by a sadistic AI that's been stuck in my head and subjected to unimaginable experiments. I'm not sure who I am anymore, and no one is coming to help me. No one is coming.
Welcome to Station 151. If you're looking for a science fiction, psychological thriller with a hint of horror like John Carpenter's The Thing, Severance on Apple TV+, or Moon by director Duncan Jones, you'll love this podcast. Catch up on all episodes of Season 1, available now wherever you get your podcasts, including a mini-season and bonus episodes. New episodes of Season 2 drop every Tuesday, continuing the story where Season 1 left off.